Father, doing. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, love, and mercy. Thank you for your power, for walking in us, making us to do what is right in your sight. Thank you for your grace that is giving us the ability to love you, to please you, to walk in righteousness and holiness. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for subduing Satan under our feet. Thank you for subduing sin under our feet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for breakthroughs you have caused in our lives. Thank you for limitations you have destroyed in our lives, callings, and ministries, and destinies. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for controlling the affairs of our lives to agree and align with your will and purposes. Thank you for your Holy Spirit in us, teaching us righteousness, guiding us appropriately in all situations. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that is helping us to know you more and to know your word more and your ways more. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that is shining your light deep inside our souls, differentiating between darkness and light, between truth and lie. Thank you, Father. Thank you for how you have helped us to grow up, matured in the knowledge of you and in the knowledge of the things in your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the effective change these Bible study teachings has done in our lives. We thank you for how you have used this platform of teaching, especially the Bible study classes. We are so grateful for how you have used this platform to change our lives positively, even to transform us into the kind of persons you want us to be. I ask, O Lord, that as we would be having another teaching discussion right now, let your presence fill this place and let everyone be awakened to know the reality of your presence. Let the entrance of these words of teaching produce revival in the hearts of everyone that will be listening. Thank you, Father, because I know you will do more than we have asked. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. And I believe that there's so much God Himself wants to teach you. And He's able to use these teachings that we have been having and the one we will have tonight. He's able to use them to teach you even greater knowledge and wisdom. Amen. So pay attention to everything that I'll be saying. We're going to continue from where we have stopped. If you can remember, we stopped at point number 4, where I said the body and soul are from birth enslaved the spirit under corruption and pollution of darkness. Yeah, and this point is under the part 2 of the teaching, which is understanding the negative influence your soul and body have on your spirit. Yeah. And I gave you several scriptures. Scriptures like Psalm 51 verse 5. Romans 8 verse 20 to 23, Joshua 7 verse 24 to 26. So now I want to read Romans chapter 5 verse 12 and verse 19. I did not read this place. Or we did not read this one last week. So I'm going to look at that before we move to point number 5. Yeah, so let us read together Romans chapter 5, verse 12 and verse 19. And after we have discussed on what is there, we'll move to the next point. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 and verse 19. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. I read, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now let's read verse 19. Romans chapter 5 verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And, remember that the point is your body and your soul are from birth enslaved your spirit under corruption and pollution of darkness. And we know how that happened. Not even from birth, from when you were in your mother's womb. Yeah. So I just decided to put from birth, but actually it is from when you were inside your mother's womb that your spirit has been enslaved under corruption and pollution of darkness. Yeah, so verse 4 of Romans chapter 5. Verse 12 of Romans chapter 5 says, sin entered into the world by one man, and we know that man. And because sin entered into the world by that one man, death also entered into the world. And death came upon all men. Yeah, we know that one man, and we know that his name is Adam. Yeah. So, and because that man and his wife sinned, everyone that is born through the generation of Adam, everyone that is born through that lineage, have automatically sinned. Yeah, whether you agree or not. Yeah, everyone that carries this human body that came through Adam, because Adam was the first human that existed, or the first man that existed. So therefore, everyone that is born from Adam, everyone that has the bloodline of Adam, have inherited sin and death. Yeah. Everyone that comes from the lineage of Adam have automatically inherited sin and death. Yeah, so the error Adam made, the mistake Adam and Eve made, did not only affect them and the world they were living at that time, it affected generations they did not even know as at that time. Yeah, including our own generation. So the sin of one man, Adam, made everyone else sin. So you can see how terrible sin is. Yeah. Maybe if they had known the effect of their disobedience, maybe they would have considered that thought of disobeying God. Maybe they would have considered not following that thought. Yeah, because it started from their imagination or from their mind. Yeah, the darkness started from inside their minds, inside the mind of Adam and Eve. I think it started from the wife's the wife's mind. Then it passed to the husband's mind. Yeah, so they both sinned. So while they were still thinking about that sin, maybe they could have changed their mind if they knew the effect of that disobedience. If they knew what it would cause on humanity, what that disobedience would bring upon humanity, not just them, but upon many generations they do not yet know as at that time. Yeah, so this scripture confirms that we have from our parents' womb, or from our mother's womb, inherited a slavery a corruption, a pollution, and death, and a sinful nature. Yeah, and we will continue like that, except we surrender to Jesus for deliverance and recreation. Yeah, so that Jesus will destroy that nature you got from Adam and turn you into a new creature that is different from the one that is from Adam's lineage. Yeah, I believe you understand that because we have talked a lot on that before now. Yeah, so let's look at verse 19. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So if the disobedience of Adam made everyone sinners, yeah, for as many that have not been saved, the disobedience made them all sinners. Even so, with the obedience of one, and we know that one, that is Jesus Christ. So it is the obedience of Jesus Christ that is able to make us righteous. Yeah, completely righteous and eternally righteous. So the obedience of Jesus is, you know, was able to make us what we have today. Yeah. So if Jesus had chosen otherwise, if he had failed when he was tempted in, I think, Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, if Jesus had failed in that, if he had failed during when he was tested, you and I will not be where we are right now. Salvation would have been missing. Yeah, there would not be any hope for salvation or eternal life if Jesus had disobeyed God. Yeah, note that Jesus had the choice to not do everything he did. In fact, he had the choice to not go to the cross and die. Yeah, but for choosing to obey God and to obey God's purpose, we saw how that single obedience led to our deliverance and salvation and redemption and transformation. Yeah, but there's one thing I want you to learn in scripture. I want you to learn the fact that your obedience as a believer will not only save your own life, your obedience as a believer is saving the lives of many. Saving the lives of many. Yeah, I did a teaching recently in our fellowship here in Nigeria. And in that teaching I was telling the brethren that every time you sin as a Christian, every time you disobey God as a Christian, you are actually helping the kingdom of darkness to prevail in their mission, in their battle against humanity. Yeah, I said, every time you are in the flesh, you are actually adding more darkness to the darkness that have covered the earth. Yeah. I'm going to repeat myself. Every time you as a Christian, you are walking in the flesh and not in the spirit, you are automatically adding more darkness to the darkness that have already covered the earth. So which means that your determination to live holy, to please God, to destroy the flesh, the sinful nature, is not only you that is, that determination is benefiting. That decision and determination is benefiting the whole world. So I was telling the brethren, I said, the more people that are standing for the truth, standing for the light, the more, or maybe I should say, the greater the revival that will happen in the earth. Yeah, I don't know if you get my point. The greater the number of people that are walking in the spirit, living in the spirit, killing the flesh, killing the desires of the flesh, the greater the revival that will happen in the earth. And the more that revival will last, the greater the revival will be, and the more lasting the revival will be. Yeah, so which means that obedience is contagious. Yeah, if you make up your mind to keep following God and obeying God, soon the people around you will start obeying God. You can try what I'm talking about. You can try it. Obedience is contagious. It spreads like wildfire. It spreads like virus. Obedience, as in true obedience. So if you make up your mind, even in that little room you are living, or in a remote village you are living, you make up your mind to please God, to serve God, to obey God, and you are doing everything the Word of God teaches, and you are doing everything the Holy Spirit is moving you and instructing to do. You just continue like that for maybe a year or 2 years. Before you know it, there are people around you that will be obeying God. Yeah. You might be the one that will talk to them, and you might not even be the one that will talk to them. Somehow, they will also be obeying God. So somehow, there will be a revival. Yeah. It just happens naturally. It happens naturally. So we need to look at the fact that our obedience carries a generational authority. Yeah, we need to look at that fact. And because of that, make a strong determination to obey God. Your obedience carries a generational authority. So it makes even your children begin to obey God naturally. Yeah, your obedience creates an atmosphere that makes other people to also begin to obey God, even without you talking to them. Yeah, you can try what I'm talking about. You just make up your mind to obey God, and you begin to see how it will be spreading. Yeah. So that is what I wanted to learn from that scripture, Romans chapter 5, verse 12 and verse 19. So if the obedience of Jesus is making you and I righteous today, if Jesus had disobeyed God, we would not be righteous today. We would not be Christians. We would not be saved. So if the obedience of Jesus can make men righteous, it also means that your own obedience can make men righteous. Even the worst sinners, your obedience can make men righteous. I have seen practical examples. For instance, the Bible told us to love our enemies. Even the same people that are despising us and using us for their own benefits. The Bible says we should love those people. Now, I have seen how I loved those people, and that love, that obedience to love them, I have seen how it changed their lives. I mean, I've seen it like this, face to face. I've seen how obedience made others righteous. Yeah, so those people were convicted by my love for them, despite the fact that they were doing wrong. They were doing me wrong. But I was loving them and helping them. So they feel convicted and they repented. They were convicted and then they repent. Yeah, and turn to Jesus. So you can see that obedience is powerful to make men righteous. I pray for you that you will learn to obey. Yes, I pray that you will learn to obey God fully and obey everything the Word of God teaches. Amen. So let's move to the next point. Point number five. The senses of your body and soul naturally opposes and denies the senses of your spirit. Remember that we are looking at understanding the negative influence your soul and body have on your spirit. So this point says the senses of your body and soul naturally opposes and denies the senses of your spirit. Yeah. So just as your body and soul have senses, which many of you know the senses in your body and your soul. Yeah. Like your body is sensitive to touch. Your body is sensitive to sight. Your body is sensitive to what you hear. Yeah. And many things. So just as your body and soul have those senses, though the medical people tell us that we have, I think, 5 senses. Yeah. But I believe that we have more than that. Yeah, the fact that we cannot describe those senses in English language doesn't mean that we don't have them, or doesn't mean that they are not part of our senses. So I believe we have a lot of senses, maybe more than 100 senses, even in your body and soul. Yeah, I believe we have a lot of senses that is not mentioned in science. Yeah, but that is just by the way. So now, what I'm saying is that the senses in your body and soul, which they taught us in school that we have sense organs. So, and by those sense organs, we're able to sense things. Yeah. So, all the senses in your body and soul they are naturally against the senses in your body, in your spirit. They naturally oppose, they naturally deny the senses in your spirit. So your spirit also has senses. Maybe millions of senses. I don't know. But I know that your spirit man has a lot of senses that we cannot describe with English language. Yeah, your spirit man has a lot of senses. Yeah, so now I want to look at this opposition between the senses of your body and soul and the senses of your spirit. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 13 and 14. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Let me read from New Living Translation, Hebrews chapter 5, 13 to 14. Hebrews 5, 13 to 14. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. I want you to take note of the word true training, and then the word skill. I want you to take note of those two words. It says solid food is for those who are mature, those who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Yeah, so which means that there's a training involved in recognizing and discerning between good and evil, between right and wrong. Remember that the theme of this teaching is building a strong discerning spirit. So there's a training involved in being able to discern between good and evil. And through that training, you will have a skill. So the training will produce that skill in you as a Christian who wants to mature. So now you might be asking, how do I get that training? What is that training all about? Now, this is what the training is all about. The training is all about isolating the senses of your body and soul from the senses of your spirit. Yeah, the training is all about isolating, like separating what your body and soul, or maybe I should use the word, what your flesh, your human nature is sensing from what your human spirit is sensing. Yeah. So that training will enable you to be able to cut those two from each other, because those two are not the same. Yeah, but because the human nature always how do I describe it? The human nature in this earthly realm makes itself strong easily. Yeah, in as much as we are still in this earth, your human nature have the ability to strengthen itself easily, such that your spirit is being oppressed and controlled or silenced by your human nature or by the senses of your body and soul. So that is why a lot of battle, inward battle, must be done. A lot of inward fighting must be done. So it is as you fight inside of you against the senses of this body, the senses of your body, the senses of your soul, it is as you continue to fight against them that the senses of your spirit begin to come alive, because the senses of your spirit are naturally there. They are always there. The senses of your spirit, they are always inside of you. And they are always, they are powerful. They are active and powerful. So the only thing that is making them weak and inactive is the senses in your body and soul. Yeah, so if you want to wake up the senses of your spirit, or if I should say, if you want to begin to know the senses in your spirit, you have to begin to go against the senses in your body and mind and soul. Yeah, and then you might ask me, how do I do that? You look at the Word of God, and try to practice the Word of God as it is, and then tell me if the senses in your body, and soul, and emotions, and feelings, and then tell me if those senses actually like what you are reading in the Word of God. You will see that they don't agree. Much of the senses in your human nature don't agree with what the Bible is telling us to do. I don't think I'm the only one that have discovered that. I'm sure you have discovered that too. Yeah. So, if you can exalt the Word of God above what the senses of your eyes is telling you, the senses of your brain is telling you, the senses of what else, your ears, your skin, your feelings, your emotions, if you can begin to exalt the word of God above what you see and feel, then you have just started the journey to knowing the senses of your spirit mind. I don't know if you are getting my point. I'm taking it very slow so that you will know everything everything God wants you to learn in this teaching. Yeah. So it's going to take great battle inside you to release the senses of your spirit. Now, let's take, for instance, the sense of your sight. Your eyes is telling you a lot of things. You know, the eyes speaks a lot. When you look at something, it's the way the eyes send message to your brain and say, you can see, that's what it is, that's how it is, that person, that's how it is. Yeah, and you just almost instantly believe the message your eyes send to your mind. Yeah, so what if you decide to go against that? What if you start saying, I'm not going to follow what my eyes is telling me about this situation? Let's say you see a crippled man, a man that cannot walk. And then you say, my eyes is telling that this man is crippled. My eyes is telling that this man cannot walk. Yeah, what if there's another sense that says this man is not crippled? Though my eyes says it is, what if there's another sense in you that is saying something else? What if there is another sense in you that is saying that that man is actually not crippled? What if there is another sense saying that that man is actually walking around on his two legs? Yeah, so that is what I'm saying. So you must be able to believe in, or maybe I should start like this. You must be able to believe against the senses in your body and soul to activate and release the senses in your spirit to function as they should. Yeah, and the whole, you know, one of the greatest weapons that will enable you to do that is the Word of God, the Bible. When you enforce the Word of God above, how should I put it? When you enforce the Word of God over your physical senses. Yeah, when you consider the word of God as the real sense, and you deny the senses of your body and soul, that is how the senses in your spirit begin to function powerfully. Until this training happens in you, this fighting happens in you and you win inside of you, don't expect that your spiritual senses will come alive and produce results. Don't expect that your spiritual senses will discern light from darkness. So a war must happen first. A war must happen inside of you. Yeah, because by nature, the senses in your body, the senses in your human nature, is against the senses in your spirit. So you must enter into that war or start that war and win to release the senses of your spirit. I hope you understand what I have said so far. So I said there is a skill that you will learn during that training. So it's a training that the Holy Spirit will take you through. Yeah, because in the process of you fighting against your sense knowledge as a man, as a human being, the Holy Spirit will come in to help you and to guide you. Yeah. It took me a lot of time to agree with the Holy Spirit that the real sense is not in this physical world, is not in this physical realm. It took me a lot of time to agree that the real sense is not in my body and not in my soul, but in my spirit. It took some time, or maybe I should say it took war. Yeah. So as I am right now, I have refused to believe in many things I feel in my body. Because as far as I'm concerned, they are not real. Yeah. Tiredness, weakness, pains, and many things I have refused to believe that they are real. Yeah, because I know they are not real. Yeah, I know they are not real. I have refused to believe the interpretation my eyes gives me about things that I see in the outside world. I have refused to believe that that is what they mean. Even if everyone is saying this thing, this is how it is, this is what it means, I have refused to believe that that is what it means. Yeah, because I do not see them with these human senses. I do not interact with things with the human senses. I interact with things with my spiritual senses. Yeah, that is why I refuse to believe many things that a lot of people consider to be real and true. Yeah, but there's a training the Holy Spirit will take you through as you begin to enforce the reality of God's word over the reality in this world, or the reality of your human senses. As you begin to enforce the reality of God's word over this other reality, then you enter into that school where the Holy Spirit will practically, the Holy Spirit will practically be showing you how to overcome. Yeah. And when you overcome, you will just know naturally that many of the so-called sicknesses, diseases, problems, troubles, they are demonic attacks. They are demons then. Yeah. That many of these things, they are being sponsored by darkness or caused by darkness. And you will just know. I'm talking about a knowing that is real. You will just know that this is what is causing this, and this is my position, or this should be my position about this issue. This is how I should face this issue. This is how I should deal with this situation. Yeah, you will just know it naturally. And by the time you follow the direction of the Spirit, according to the senses of your spirit, you will almost instantly see breakthroughs and victories. Yeah. Because you know by the senses that are invisible the cause of those situations and problems. Yeah. It's not like you're not like, oh, this thing is a medical problem. I have to run here. I have to run there. Or this thing is one man's. It's because a particular person made a decision. That is why this is happening. So we have to go and beg that man. We have to find a way to talk to that man. You should know that. Even the decisions people make, many of those decisions are coming from the kingdom of darkness. Many of the decisions people make on earth is not coming from those people. It's coming from the power, the powers controlling their souls. So if you have power over the powers controlling people's decisions and choices. So it means that you can literally be able to get people do what is right. Yeah. On your knees in the place of prayer. So those people will just do what is right. They might not even know why they are doing what is right. Yeah, because they did not even know why they were doing what is wrong. Yeah, they did not know why they were doing what is wrong. Because there's a power making them do what is wrong. So if we conquer that power, so we can get the people in leadership, the people in government, we can get them to make right choices through prayers. And they will make right choices. Yeah. I believe you're getting my point. So, seeing everything with the senses of your spirit is how to live the right life. I tell you the truth. That's how to live the right life. But if you're following what the two eyes in your head is telling you, you are thinking all the thoughts, this outside world is suggesting to your mind. That is what you think. Then you will live the most frustrated life. Yeah. I don't want to dwell so much on that. So just a little bit to recap. I said when you surrender to that training school, you automatically begin to have a skill. Yeah, because, and I can call that skill wisdom. When you surrender to the training school of the Holy Spirit, that helps you to isolate the senses of your soul and body from the senses of your spirit. And I told you how you surrender to that training by begin to enforce God's word upon everything, your human nature feels or senses. Yeah. As you begin to enforce God's word upon it, you automatically enter into that training school of the Holy Spirit. I mean, you begin to exalt God's word. You begin to say, I follow God's word and not what my senses is telling me. That's what I mean by enforcing. So you begin to reject what your senses are telling you. The senses of your nature, your personality, your temperament, your whatever they call it, your body, your soul, all those senses. You begin to say, I follow God's word and not these senses, not these feelings, not these emotions. I follow God's word. I embrace God's word. So as you begin to enforce God's word over those things, you begin to put those things under God's word, and you begin to follow God's word and not those things, then you automatically enter into that training school of the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit begins to guide you into the, you know, into victory, then you begin to develop a skill, a discerning skill, that when you look at the situation, you just know what to do. You just know the right from the wrong. Yeah, this is not about you trying to do what will please you. Of course, you cannot follow God's word and be carnal. You can't follow God's word and be selfish and be self-centered and be following yourself or pleasing yourself or serving yourself. Of course, you can't follow God's word and still have that. So, that skill or wisdom that you will naturally have by following the Holy Spirit in that training process will enable you to be able to differentiate between light and darkness in every situation you find yourself. You will just know what to do. So, and what you will do will be just what Jesus would do if Jesus were to be in that situation. Yeah, you would practically manifest wisdom. So there are some situations I have found myself. And I don't need to pray and say, God, what do you want me to do? I just know what to do. Why? Because over time, I have developed the skill to differentiate between right from wrong. I just know what to do. Yeah, and I know that thing that I want to do is the right thing to do. I just know what to do. I just know what to say. Yeah, so that is the skill that you learn after you have surrendered to that training. Yeah, and that is what the writer of Hebrews chapter 5 was trying to tell us, that solid food, strong meat belong to those people who through training have developed skills to differentiate what is right from what is wrong. Yeah, which I said, it means differentiating the senses of your body and soul from the senses of your spirit man. Now, let us look at this other scripture. Before we round off the teaching, Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and verse 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Yeah, verse 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 8 says, So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. I want to read from New Living Translation. It says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Then verse 8. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Yeah, can never please God. Yeah, so the nature in your body can never please God. The nature in your soul, because they are sinful nature, they can never please God. And they are what is making you to think about sinful things. It is your sinful nature that is making you to think about sinful things. But if you surrender yourself to the control of the Holy Spirit, to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, that is when you'll be able to think about things that please the Spirit. Yeah. So, which means that you have a role to play as a Christian. Yeah. You have a role to play as a Christian. God will do his own part. But if you don't make decisions, if you don't make a strong decision to reject and deny the dictates of your sinful nature, there is no how you will release the senses of your spirit to manifest. Yeah, or to function. Yeah, so which also implies that if for 10 years you don't make a strong decision to reject following the dictates of your sinful nature, it means for 10 years the senses of your spirit will never get a chance to function. Now, you might be having some dreams and feel like, oh, my spiritual eyes is open. That's why I'm having these divine dreams, these prophetic dreams, these visions. Yeah, you might be having all those things, but if only you can, if only you can do what is right, you will soon realize that there is so much about your spirit man. So much about your spirit man. Some Christians, they boast of little things. Oh, I can see visions, I can prophesy. They boast of very little things. Yeah, because there is more they can do that they don't know. Why? Because they have not released their spirit from the control of the flesh. Yeah. When your spirit man is released from the control and dominion of the flesh, then you will know that there is a lot in your spirit. A lot the Holy Spirit wants to do with your spirit. A lot the senses of your spirit want to pick from heaven, want to discern. Yeah. So there is so much. There is so much. A lot of prophets have been disgraced. A lot of prophets, or whether man prophets or women prophets, a lot have been disgraced. Why? Because they have a very low discernment. They spoke very boldly. Oh, this is what the Lord said. This is what is going to happen. That is what is going to happen. They said, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord Jesus. He said this. He said that. He showed me this. He showed me that. Yeah. But eventually, many of what they said, they saw, did not come to pass. Yeah. In fact, they did not even show a sign of coming to pass. I mean, there's not even a sign that they are coming to pass. Or there's not even a fragment of what he said coming to pass. Yeah, why? Because their discernment was so weak. So the time they should have spent dying to self and the pleasures of sin in their flesh, they were spending that fasting and trying to hear from God. You cannot hear, there are things you can't hear from God if your flesh have not died to a point. There are many things you can't hear from God. You can have the best prophetic accuracy. Yeah, as a prophet or prophetess. There are certain things God can never speak to you. Yeah. Or until your spirit man has been purified and purged to a certain level. So which means that there is this control the sinful nature have over the spirit of many prophets that are still prophesying. And that control makes them to be deceived in the prophetic realm. So there are many things they are saying that God said that God did not actually say. It is because they have not died to self and the flesh. That is why they were not able to know exactly what is going on in that realm. Yeah, because the flesh becomes a pollution in the prophetic realm. Yeah. And God cannot be mocked. It is whatsoever you sow that you will reap. So if only we Christians and ministers can really allow God to train us, then we can manifest a lot of spiritual gifts and prosper in those spiritual gifts. Yeah. And then we can fulfill our ministries in a great way. Yeah, because we have now grown to be able to differentiate light from darkness. For there are many darkness that looks like light. A lot of darkness looks like light. Yeah. But the Holy Spirit is able to make you know even those darkness that looks like light. To make you know that this is not light. This is in darkness, even though it looks like light. Yeah. There are some people that they have so much. I'm going to round off with this. There are some ministers, yeah, not just some people. There are some ministers that they have so much magnified and exalted certain ministries, yeah, or certain men of God. They feel like, I mean, they tell me that, do you know what is going on in that ministry? Do you know what is going on in that, what is going on in that church? You can see that God is moving there. You can see that God is using that person. In fact, he's our mentor. That person is our mentor. We are following him. But somehow, I will just not flow along with what they are saying. Somehow, I just feel like this person or this ministry, they are so much magnifying. It's not actually in right standing with God. You know, I might not be able to explain, but I'll just tell them that I don't think this person is actually what you people are saying he is. I don't think God is actually where you say God is. So they feel like, well, that is you. But this is what we know. We know that this person is full of the Holy Spirit. This person is anointed. And all of that. Then after some years, some of them will come back to me or some of them will start saying, will start complaining like, oh, you were right. Actually, we now begin to see this, see that. So you were actually right. There was darkness there. Though we thought there was no darkness. Yeah, so that is how a discerning spirit operates. You are able to discern even those darkness that looks like light. Yeah, you're able to discern. So even though many people might invalidate your discernment, but time will tell. Time will prove that you are right. Yeah, even if presently they feel like they are the one that is right. But with time, they will go to see that they are actually, or they were actually wrong with time. Yeah, so my point is that the Holy Spirit can train you to have this skill in your spirit, and you can and that ability will make you to be so sure of the will of God in every situation. Yeah. You'll be able to look at someone and tell everyone that that man is not going to die. Even though doctor said that the man will die in 4 days, you'll be able to say, no, that man will not die. Yeah, and eventually the man will not die. You'll be able to say, this thing will not happen. And eventually it will not happen. Why? Because you're able to discern strongly. Yeah. So we're going to stop here. There are still two more scriptures, but we'll look at that next week. Remember, the point is the senses of your body and soul naturally opposes and denies the senses of your spirit. So which means that we must deny and oppose the senses of our body and soul to release the senses of our spirit. If you have questions, you can ask on our Telegram group. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for showing us how much transformation that is able to happen to us if we submit to your word, obey your word, enforce your word, surrender to your word. Thank you for showing us how much you are able to release our spirit and the senses of our spirit to function and manifest. Oh Lord, I ask that you help as many hearing my voice right now. I ask that you help everyone here to follow your word as it is, to believe your word as it is, to enforce your word as it is in all situations at all times. Oh Lord, help everyone in Jesus' name. I pray for you that the grace to deny everything your senses, your physical senses, your body senses and soul senses is telling you that does not line up with the scriptures, the grace to deny all these senses, receive now in Jesus' name. I pray for you that the fire of the Holy Ghost shall burn in your spirit and shall liberate the senses in your spirit to begin to function so that you can fulfill your destiny as it is. I decree that happen right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because we know you are my son. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.